Wow. I love that song. And I about come out of my seat. That's great. Can you guys hear me okay?
Amen.
All right, good. All right, well, just want to take the opportunity to thank Pastor Moore for giving me the opportunity to be able to preach today, all day. So very thankful for that. I don't take it lightly. Something that, you know, I love doing, but thankful the Lord gives me the opportunity to do it. Thankful for Western Hills Baptist Church and just how welcoming you all have been to our family since we've been here. We're just so incredibly blessed for it. But we're excited about what the Lord's going to do about the future. And, you know, we're going to start things off, you know, in the first Sunday of July. So July 7th, we're starting Teen Sunday School. So if you're a teenager here, I want to encourage you and invite you to come to Sunday School. 9 o'clock, we're going to actually meet in the building next door, and it's that second door. Don't go in the first one, that's pastor's house for the time being, but go to the second one. We have Sunday school set up, and we'll start right over there. We're not going to start here, we're going to start over there. So we're really excited, and we have a lot of teenagers in this church, and really excited about what the Lord's going to do. He's already shown me what, as far as He wants me to do, as far as lessons and teaching, and just so excited, and just want those who are teenagers here that, you know, I was able to get like a list of everyone's names, and just I've been praying for you. And so we want to see God do a work, because only He can do it. All right, before I start sobbing uncontrollably, if you could stand and turn to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 22. All right. All right. Verse 22. And we're going to actually look at this account in two other books of the Gospels. So, but for our reading this morning, we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we're just so beyond blessed to be able to be here this morning. Thank you for those who are visiting this morning. Thank you for those who are faithful members and faithful visitors to our church, and just so thankful for them being here. I ask, Father, that you would be with me this morning, that you would just calm my nerves. Pray, Father, that you would just speak through me. Help me to say only the things that you would want to have said. Pray, Father, that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that this morning they would make that decision to trust you as their Lord and Savior. And we're just so thankful, again, to be here this morning. Pray that you just use the message and that you'd be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, we've already read the account in Matthew chapter 14, but if you could, we're going to turn to Mark 6 and John 6. That'll be easier. Mark 6 and to John 6. So go ahead and turn over there. And we'll start with Mark, and then we'll move on to John. But I want us to see, that's what I love about the Gospels and what I love about the Bible, is there's multiple accounts of different stories that have happened, and they all line up and they all agree. And that's just proof, right, that the Bible was inspired and that the Lord used the different accounts. But we're going to look in John chapter 6. I'm sorry, not John 6, Mark 6. And we're going to look at verse 45, and this is going to be very familiar because it was what we just read. It says in verse 45 of Mark 6, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now let's look over to John chapter 6. I just love it that you can get so many different perspectives. You know, you saw Matthew's perspective, you saw Mark's. Now we're going to see John and John chapter 6. If you look at verse 15, it says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when he was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I. Be not afraid." And I love this. "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." So here we have three different accounts of the same story. Now, granted, Mark and John didn't include the part where Peter also walked on the water. And if you're wondering, well, why isn't that? My answer is, I don't know. But this is what the Lord had asked them to write. And so, has anyone here ever been on a jury? All right, we have a few, okay, that have been on a jury. I've only been called in for a jury duty, but they've always dismissed me, or may have something to do with the fact that my dad's a sergeant for the Phoenix Police Department. That may have some of it, but I at least will try to use that, you know, to try to get out of it. But it can take a while for a jury and trial to go through. So, but throughout the trial process, right, the prosecution and defense will call up witnesses to give testimony for what's occurred, for what they've witnessed and seen. And with that testimony, the jury must then decide whether the defendant is either guilty or not guilty. And here this morning, we're seeing three different witnesses' accounts of Jesus when he walked on the water. And each person's perspective was a little different, which is great. But I want us to look at the details of the accounts here and see the evidence of the message. And the account of the message was the same today. In each account, the message is the same today as it was back then. And that message is we need to decide whether we choose faith or fear. Faith or fear. The choice of fear is something that we saw that the disciples were quite guilty of, right? As they were in the boat and they were toiling, it says the wind was contrary and the waves were being against the ship, and it was the fourth watch of the night, it was dark. They were scared. And then all of a sudden they see someone walking on the water. Now, I've not been on a boat when it's been dark, but I've been on a boat when it's been contrary. We had the opportunity to go kayaking last summer at Watson Lake up in Prescott, and Of course, it was during monsoon season. So I'm out and we're out in the kayak. I remember with a group of folks, and we're out there, and all of a sudden, monsoons, as you know, those of you who live here, it can look just fine for 5 minutes, and then the next 5 minutes, it's downpouring. Well, all of a sudden, it started downpouring on us. I mean, it just wasn't like a sprinkle to warn you. It started downpouring on us, and we were out in the middle of the lake, and it's a good-sized lake. So we're out in the middle of the lake, and so we're rowing. We're trying to get to land, trying to get to the side. Well, all of a sudden, I was like, man, these drops are hurting. All of a sudden, it was hailing. We started getting hailed on while we were in the middle of the lake, and it was just pounding us, and I had my hat on, and my glasses were fogging up, and I'm sitting there just rowing and rowing, and I couldn't go anywhere. And then lo and behold, I look behind me, and I'm already washed up on land. I was like, well, that's why I wasn't going anywhere, because I was already washed up on land. But it was so contrary. You thought you were making progress, but you weren't going anywhere. My wife was on the other side of the cove, and she was holding onto a tree, just waiting for the storm to pass. But it was scary. It was. It's like you think you're making progress, but the wind just carries you and takes you. But in this passage, the disciples, I want us to realize is here that faith. That fear will feed our flesh. And when we choose fear, it's going to simply feed our flesh. Now, here in this passage, disciples were told by Jesus to get in the boat and go to the other side. And so here they get on the boat, they go to the other side, and what were they doing? They're simply being obedient. He told them, I want you to go get on the boat and go to the other side. They were in God's will. But as we know, that when we're in the center of God's will, guess what will happen? Trials will come. Storms will come in our lives. And Satan will use that storm to then tempt us with fear. You know, we've all been on that mountaintop experience where things have been good, the Lord's been great, the Lord's providing, the Lord's taking care of us, and then all of a sudden, it could be a phone call that changes that, just like that. And then, what happens? Our flesh kicks in and we begin to fear. You know, fear is something that we're all guilty of. Does anyone remember that show, Fear Factor? You know, it was a long time ago, where they had people come on. It was a game show slash, you know, I can't remember what the other word for it. It was a game show type thing where people would have to do things, weird things, scary things, and they would earn money for doing these things. So they would put, like, people in a glass box, and then they'd fill it with, like, spiders or snakes and things like that. Well, when you start filling it with snakes, I'm out. So, but they would do that, and these people would scream. They'd be in pain, and all for money. But it was called Fear Factor because they were putting people through things that would fear them, and they'd have them eat gross things and stuff like that. That's irrelevant at this point. But fear is something that we're all guilty of. So I want to introduce you all this morning to one of my greatest fears, and my father-in-law will appreciate this because he actually gave me this ladder and he found it on the side of a road. But we're gonna address a fear. And my biggest fear is heights. Now Christmas time comes and it's now the day after Thanksgiving and the kids are like, Daddy, can we hang lights outside? And I'm like, uh-huh. So I'm good. Up on the ladder, I'm good right here. I'm good right here. If I have a couple steps, great. But there's been times our roof is just like the most inconvenient size for a 6-foot ladder. Or is this an 8-foot? Whatever it is. Six, if it's a 6-foot ladder. So we have the top of my roof. Man, you guys are starting to spin a little bit. But if I get up on the ladder, I have to go not to the top step, but I have to go to the second to top step. Now, don't tell OSHA, but I'm sure that's not like safe because you don't have 3 points of, you know, connection. But I am deathly afraid of heights. My legs start shaking. I start getting queasy. And you say, well, Brother Joe, you just trust the Lord. Yes, I trust the Lord, but the Lord also, I'm just scared. I'm just scared of heights. All right. And I do trust the Lord. There's been times where I've had to get up and do some things. My father-in-law and I were, we were at Cornerstone. The baptistry is right here, And at the very peak, he put like a wooden beam thing up there, and we had to rent a scaffolding. Well, I climbed up on the scaffolding, and of course, it's way higher than here, and even here, I'd be scared. And we were up there, and I was having to hold it up for him so he could screw it into the ceiling and fasten it. Well, someone decided to come by and just like shake the scaffolding for me. I was like, I was scared for my life. But you know what that is, though? That's my flesh. That's my flesh and the fear. And I understand that I'm not going to go, skydiving and bungee jumping. But I know what? You know, I love roller coasters. So, like I said in Sunday school, they don't love me, but my body doesn't love them. But I do love them. But the other biggest fear that I think a lot of us have, and if we were all honest this morning, is the fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. And the disciples were going through that in this passage. Here they didn't know what was going to happen. They're rowing, they're toiling, they're getting tired, and then all of a sudden they see someone walking on water. And their response was fear. In verse 26 it says, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. So they were afraid. And honestly, you know, for us, you know, when the Lord called us into ministry, that was a big fear of the unknown. Lord, where are you going to send us? We were totally expecting for the Lord to send us, you know, out of state, away from family. And the Lord decided not to do that, and I praise the Lord for that. And that's just an additional blessing. But fear can cause us to make decisions that are wrong. You know, fear is going to open the door for sin because it feeds our flesh. And in 1 Samuel 15:24, we're not going to go there for time's sake, but King Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And he used the excuse, well, the people were starting to leave, and you know, and he was told, Samuel told him, "I want you to utterly destroy everything." And he's like, "But the people wanted me to do that." He was afraid for the people. And so Saul was guilty of having fear of what other people would think or what the nation was going to think instead of him obeying what God told him to do. And so fear often, a fear that Satan likes to give us is, what are other people going to think? You know, when I was 10 years old, right before I got saved, you know, I thought I'd gotten saved when I was younger, and I just prayed a little prayer, and I didn't know what I prayed, but I wasn't saved. And I knew it. But you know what kept me from wanting to just get it settled, getting taken care of? What is everyone else going to think? Everyone else already thinks that I'm saved. Everyone else already thinks that I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm faithful to church. You know, just a good church kid. You know, what are other people going to think? And that's what Satan tried to use to keep me from getting saved. But I had to come to a realization that I couldn't let my fear control what my decision was. And that's what often happens. We let fear control our decisions, and our flesh enters in. You know, Satan wants us to dwell on our fears and our trials. Satan wants you to fall into sin. You know, I don't know everyone's circumstances here. That's the benefit of only being here a few weeks. I don't know everyone's situation at home. And you know what? The point is I don't need to. But you could be going through a storm in your life right now. You could be rowing. You could be toiling. And you're scared. You're afraid. And Satan's planted this, well, you know, nothing good's going to come of this anyway, so you might as well just give up. Or, you know, no one else cares about you, so you might as well just give up. And then Satan starts using the fear to then give things like depression and anxiety and things like that to work in your life to cause you to doubt. Because fear causes doubt. You know, the disciples, if you look in Mark's account, it says that they almost didn't even see him. The disciples had just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. Now, what an awesome miracle that was. He used a little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they had just gone through that. But here now, the disciples are in the middle of the sea, like, we're going to die. God's left us. We're going to die. And what did they do? They were doubting. You know why? Because of fear. Fear causes doubt. You know, fear will cause doubt in your life. You know, in Mark 6:52 it says, how soon they forgot the feeding of the 5,000. You know, fear causes us to not recognize the Lord. You know, when you're going through that storm and you're afraid and you're doubting, you're not even looking at the Lord because you're so focused on the storm and so focused on your fear. You know, when they saw him, it says, they cried out in fear. It says, but in verse 27 of Matthew, it says, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That phrase is in all three accounts. It is I, be not afraid. You know what he was addressing? He was immediately, it says he immediately, when he saw them yelling and screaming, ah, there's a spirit out there, we're going to die, we're going to sink, oh, this day has gone really bad. And, you know, we're out in the middle of the ocean, and now we're going to, or the sea, we're going to die, and there's a ghost here, surely, you know, we're done for. But the Lord said, no. Don't be afraid. It is I. I'm here. And I love it that whenever a storm comes in our lives, that the moment we look to Jesus, he brings comfort. He brings strength. He calms that fear. I'm so thankful that our God is a God of comfort. Amen. You know, Peter, though, he was still skeptical, even when Jesus said it was him. And so here you have Peter. He's in the boat, and he's sitting there, and he's probably tired and exhausted, and he's like, Lord, if it's you, bid me come out into the water. And the Lord's just standing there, and he's like, come. And so here's Peter. I can just picture it. Here's Peter, and he's like, all right. And it's still, and the storm's still going on, by the way. And so here he's like, lifting. Wait. I just stepped on the water. And he pulls his other leg, and he's walking, and he looks at Jesus. It's probably just like how a little kid, when they're first starting to walk, I'm doing it, I'm walking. And he's walking, and he's looking at Jesus. And he's looking at Jesus with each step. Can you imagine feeling the waves like brushing up against his legs, and it's contrary, and he's probably like, this is so cool, but so weird at the same time. And then all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off the Lord and starts looking at the storm. He starts looking at the storm. And what happens? The Bible says that when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And does the Bible say that Jesus said, well, you did this to yourself, buddy. Sorry. No. He said, no. He reached down his hand and saved him. And how awesome was that? But I guarantee you, Peter didn't doubt. But you know what? You know what Peter realized? You know what Peter realized when he was starting to sink? He had no choice. He had two choices. He could either drown or ask the Lord to save him. And here this morning, I want us to see, because fear causes doubt, we do the same thing. We start looking, when we're in the middle of a storm, you know, we're faithful to church, we're faithful reading our Bible, and we start looking at Jesus, but then all of a sudden the trial comes. And then we start looking at the trial. Oh man, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay this bill? Oh man, I have this health need. How are we going to be able to even accomplish this? How are we going to be able to handle this? And we start focusing on the storm, and guess what happens? Fear starts to engulf us. We begin to sink. You know, in verse 31, Jesus asks Peter something, and he says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? And he does the same thing for us. We start looking at the storm and begin to sink. He's like, why are you doubting? Don't doubt. I'm here. Be not afraid. It is I. You know, fear engulfs you if you choose to not have faith. When we start doubting God, you know what it is? It's the sin of unbelief. You know, Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. You know, once your fear controls you, it moves you further away from God. You know, when you allow your circumstances to consume you, when you allow your fears to consume you, when you allow your problems to consume you, guess what? You've now taken your eyes off God, and you're moving away from Him, and then all of a sudden, you start being unfaithful to church, you start not stop reading your Bible, you start getting away from those things because I just got to handle this myself. But we can't handle our circumstances by ourselves. We have to only do it with God's help and His strength, and we can't allow fear to engulf us. You know, Israel themselves doubted at the Red Sea, didn't they? When they were at the Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming for them, they said, Moses, didn't God just send us out here to die? I mean, it was way better back in Egypt than here us dying at the hand of the Egyptians. And Moses said to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, get your eyes off your circumstances and your trials and what's coming and keep your eyes on the Lord and see what God will do. Fear will cause you to lose faith. You know, Jesus has already come for them and says, be not afraid. He says it is I, be not afraid. He'd already told them that. And guess what? He still forgot when he got on the water. You know, what a message in those words, those six words, it is I. Be not afraid. You know, the Lord doesn't do anything by accident. And I'm 100% confident the reason He has that phrase in all three accounts is because He wants us to get it. He wants us to understand, I'm here. Don't look at your storms. Look at Me. So the disciples chose fear. But in the end, they chose faith. And our response to fear should be faith. You know, Jesus addressed their concerns and needs. When Peter cried out, Lord, save me, He immediately saved him. He addressed his need. Our response to fear is simply this. We should just cry out to the Lord. Lord, I need Your help. Lord, I have this health issue. I need Your help. Lord, I'm going through this hard time. Lord, I can't pay this bill. I don't have the finances. Lord, I'm struggling with a child or a difficulty. I need Your help. And guess what? When we cry out to God, the Bible says that He will save us. But you may be here this morning and you say, you know what? My life is in shambles. I've been seeking God. I don't have a relationship with God. But all you have to do is cry out, Lord, save me. How awesome. What an awesome promise that God's given us. In Matthew 8:26, we have a different account, and we're going to dive into this other account, and I want us to see it's the same principle, and I want to see what God's Word is showing us here. If you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, it's a very similar situation and what has happened. Matthew, chapter 8, and we're going to look in verse 23, the disciples, you could tell that their fear was being out on the water. But what's funny is they were fishermen. And so it's just so interesting that the Lord just shows this. But in Matthew 8:23, it says, and when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but He was asleep, that being Jesus. And His disciples came to him and awoke Him saying, Lord, save us, we perish, we're going to die. And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey Him? And then if you look at the same account in Mark chapter 4, I love this, I love it. The message is still the same. Mark chapter 4. Now, Mark is a little more detailed in this, but Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, in the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one another, What manner of man is this? Even the wind and sea obey him. And then the last account is in Luke. And I love, my personal favorite of the Gospels is Luke. And in verse 25, we'll start in verse 23. Same account. Just bear with me. We're going to get to the point of it here. It says in Luke 8:22, it says, Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as he sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to another, What manner of man is this, that he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him? Here you had Jesus asleep on the boat in each of these accounts, and the disciples go to him and say, Master, we're going to die. Save us. We need you to do something. And he's just sleeping. And didn't you think Jesus knew that the storm was going to happen? He didn't think he knew that was going to happen. He was testing their faith. He was saying, Are they going to trust me? Well, they knew he was the answer to it, but they still didn't have faith. So they woke him up, and he said, Peace, be still. And the wind stopped, and he said, Why were you fearful? Where is your faith? And it's the same for us. When we go through storms, the Lord's going to ask, Where is your faith? You know, I have a fear of heights, and getting on a ladder scares me. But Brother Carlos, could you help me with something? Can you come here? Can you hold the ladder for me? So here Brother Carlos is holding the ladder. Brother Carlos is representing the Lord. When we have fears, we can keep climbing. We can keep going. We can go to that other step and not be fearful. You know why? Because the Lord's holding it. The Lord's in control.
Amen.
I wasn't near dizzy that time. Thank you, Brother Carlos. I appreciate you doing that. You know what? I trusted Brother Carlos that he wasn't going to let me fall. It should be the same for us. You know, when we're going through that storm, the Lord's right there. He's right there. He's holding that ladder. He's holding that boat. He's keeping us safe. You know what Satan doesn't want? Satan wants us to look at our circumstances. He doesn't want us to look to Jesus. Satan wants us to forget what God has done and only remember our faults. You know what? You may be here. I don't know your past. I don't know what's happened in your life. But Satan, you know what he'll do? He'll use your fear and doubt to look at your past and say, you don't need to have faith, and you don't need faith. Just look at what's happened. God's not going to be accepting of you. But you know, the Bible says is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for everyone, not just some. He died for everyone. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, guess what? All he's doing is he's right there, and he's saying, come. He's saying, come. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid what other people are going to think. Don't be afraid of maybe what your family's going to think. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's just turn there. The reason I'm having you all turn to these passages, I want you to see what the Lord just showed me myself in this. And this is what the Lord wants, how we should be responding to fear. We should simply be responding to fear with faith. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You know, in the preceding Hebrews chapter 12, we have Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. And it gives a list of different people that by faith, trusted God to do and use them in a mighty way. For example, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. You know what? Moses' parents, you know why they weren't afraid? Because they had faith. And you know, I want us this morning to understand that when we look to Jesus, you know what we're doing? You know how we can look to Jesus? By being in His Word. This is where the Lord speaks to us. Amen. But you know how we also do it? By being faithful to church. Amen. Looking to Jesus. We need His help. I can't do it on my own. You know, this message is so applicable because I'm scared to death to be doing what I'm doing right now. I'm nervous and scared. But you know what the Lord said? Where's your faith? And so the first step in admitting that is in letting fear and letting faith conquer your fear is admitting that you need help. If you're not saved, the first step is realizing you need to be saved. Amen. That you're a sinner, just like we all are, that Jesus died for you. Peter knew he needed help, and he knew who was the one to save him. And then lastly, I want to see that faith strengthens our relationship with God. You know, the disciples, if you look in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 33. And so this is after the winds had ceased, and Jesus got into the boat, and the wind ceased. This is what the disciples' response was. And what an awesome response, and what a proper response. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They worshipped. They bowed before the Lord. They worshipped the Lord who had saved them. You know, I've seen the Lord work in lives of individuals who'd gone through some really hard trials, some really tough times. When you see faith in action, guess what it does? It builds trust and confidence in the Lord. And the disciples' response after the trial was confession. Truly, this is the Son of God. Even when they were in the boat, when Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they said, they marveled, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the water obey him? You know, there was no more doubt when Jesus entered the boat. I'm so thankful that we can call on the Lord and He's faithful and says, I'll get into the boat. I'll save you. You may be going through life's troubled seas and you may be wrestling with that storm and the Lord's just there saying, I'm here. And I'll always say, Lord, I need you in the boat. I need you with me. I need your help. I need your strength. Colossians 2, 5 through 7 says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit. This is Paul talking to the church there, in spirit, joying and beholding your order as and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, when you allow your faith to grow, guess what else grows? Your relationship with Christ. When you're in your Bible, your relationship with Christ is growing. When you're praying and you're spending time with Him, your relationship with Christ is growing. When you're faithful to church, when you're hearing the preaching from God's Word, guess what it is? It's strengthening you. That's the purpose. You know, when we come to church, we come to hear from God. We don't come to hear from a man. We come to hear from God, that the message that God has given the man of God to then give to you. And so when we miss out on that, guess what we're missing out on? We're missing out on hearing from God. And we have a loving Savior that wants to strengthen us. He wants to grow our faith. He wants to encourage you. You know, I love that we do blessing time on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. You know what that time of blessing is, when someone shares something, how the Lord's blessed them? You know what that is? It grows your faith. It grows your faith and encourages you. Wow, the Lord did that for that person? He could do that for me. He could help me. Don't miss out on what God has for you. In our society today, we can't afford it. We can't afford to miss out on what God has for us. Maybe you're here today and you're living in fear of what's going to happen in your life, the unknown. You may be here and this is the first time you've heard of Jesus or what he has done. You know, Jesus loved you so much that he came and died on the cross for your sins. And he rose 3 days later, all because he loved you. Amen. And he's there, and he's here, and he's saying, why don't you just let me save you? Why don't you just let me save you from the troubles in your life? Let me save you from the unknown in your life. Maybe you're living in fear of not knowing where you'll spend eternity when you die. You don't have to live in fear of that this morning. You know, the Bible says when we die, we go to one of two places. We go to heaven or a place called hell. Hell is a place of torment where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Luke chapter 16, it says, rich man and in hell lift up his eyes being in torment. You could be here this morning and you could be saying, I never even knew that it existed. I just thought that maybe, you know, if you did really good things that, you know, you would just get to go to heaven with God and everyone gets to go to heaven. But because we're sinners, because we're all sinners, amen. Jesus had to make a way for salvation. And he sent his son to die on the cross. This morning, you can put your faith and trust in him. You know, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus died so when you trust him as your Savior, that way you can know you have eternal life. Salvation isn't just temporary. Salvation, the Bible says, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He's got you. He's never going to let you go. Once you put your faith and trust in him, he's got you, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven with him. You may be here this morning, Christian, and you may be going through a trial, and Satan's been having the victory. He's having you look at the storms. He's having you look at the circumstances. You could be here this morning saying, I'm not looking at the Lord. You know, you can get that taken care of this morning. You can give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've not been focusing on you. I've been focusing on the storm. I've been focusing on the circumstance. I've been focusing on the health. This morning, you can just come to this altar and leave it here. I encourage you, leave it here. Don't put some of it on the altar and say, you know what? I'm still going to hold on to a little bit of the circumstance. Put it all here. Let God take care of it. He can bear that burden. Because you know what he's saying this morning? The same thing he said in those three accounts. It is I. Be not afraid. We have an amazing God that is a forgiving God, no matter how many times we fall and fail. Trust me. I fall and I fail. But so thankful for God that if we just simply say, Lord, please forgive me, he takes care of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're starting to look at the circumstances. If you're going through trials, this morning you just come forward and get that taken care of. But if there's someone here this morning that would say, You know, Brother Joe, if I were to die today, I don't know that heaven would be my home. I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've always been afraid of what people are going to think, what my friends are going to think, what my family's going to think. And I've never done that. If that's you this morning, it's just me. It's just me here. All I want to do is pray for you. All I want to do is pray for you. Is there anyone like that in the room this morning that says, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Anyone like that? All I want to do is pray for you. Christian, I want to encourage you this morning. Get it. You can get that. You can get right with the Lord this morning. Let's do that. Let's give an opportunity for the invitation at this time. If the Lord's spoken to you, just come forward and give him your burdens.
Who can share the heart like Jesus? I, his presence all divine.
Don't leave your circumstances in your seat. Don't leave that storm there. Come and give it to God. He's the only one. He's the only solution for it.
Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
All right, you can look up this way. I had it in my notes and I totally passed over it, but us as Christians, sometimes our fear is in serving. Our fear is, the Lord couldn't use me to do this. The Lord couldn't use me to teach a Sunday school class. The Lord couldn't use me to, you know, sing in a choir or sing a special. But that's Satan. He uses those fears to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And I hope it was a help to you this morning. The message. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Exodus. We're actually going to be talking about God knows your talents. God knows your talents. And it's going to be a message on serving the Lord and what the talents he has. And so very thankful for all of your all's attendance. It's helped calm my nerves. So thank you so much. Appreciate that. And pray the Lord use the message in your hearts this morning. Brother Larry, why don't you come give us any announcements and close us with a song.